Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Top Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets lose. We've got a Game 3 tonight in Milwaukee. 888-808-1019 if you want to talk about that. The Yankees' path being what it is now. There are three teams left in the American League postseason other than the Yankees. One is the Royals that will play. The other two are the Tigers and the Guardians. So we're talking about the Yankees against the AL Central. And that should favor the Yankees. Now, speaking of the Yankees, we are giving away another pair of Yankees playoff tickets this morning in the 9 a.m. hour. However, you have to listen this hour to get the cue to call, and it's going to be a John Sterling drop. So when you hear the John Sterling drop this hour, you got to put it in the memory bank, because then at 9 o'clock when you hear it, then you call the contest line. So I'll explain that again when you hear the John Sterling drop coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, we have all the football that's out there as well. The Giants are sort of on the back burner. The Malik Nabers thing obviously is troubling, but, you know, the Jets are in the crosshairs. Even with all the baseball postseason going on, the Jets have still found a way to make a lot of news this week, from Aaron Rodgers responding to your quotes about the relationship between him and the head coach, to Rob Saleh having to respond to those, to Rob Saleh talking about the cadence thing not being an issue when he made it an issue, and of course everything with Davante Adams, that at this point is going to be quiet throughout the London game. He's not going to play for the Raiders this week against the Broncos, but when they get home, regardless of win or loss, that seems like the perfect time for a trade to go down. The Jets aren't the only team, but they're certainly the favorite because that's where Davante Adams wants to be.
Well, again, you have to take into account a number of different things, and one of these nuance aspects of this would be his contract. I don't think anybody that's going to trade for him is going to be accepting of what the way the contract is written right now. They're probably going to want to do some redo or redeal or some more guaranteed money and extend the contract to make sure that it is at least for at least 3 years, I would think. I mean, was he 31, 32 years old? He's still a very, very good player and still has a lot left in the tank. And the real question is how much longer does he want to play? I'm sure every player wants to play to as long as they can and make as much money as they can. Be interesting to say, okay, we're going to trade you, but now you have to come up with an agreement to the team that we're trading you to make sure that you're happy with your contract and the team can fit you under their salary cap. And, you know, if the Jets are going to be acquiring Davante Adams, you know, they have to give him a contract. But if things blow up here, this isn't going to be the group that's going to be running this thing.
You wouldn't think. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, let's say they have a bad year, they miss the playoffs. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play again, you know Nathaniel Hackett will still be here because that's his guy.
Now, but by the way, they tried to bring somebody in to sit on top of Nathaniel.
Yeah, I know, but that was another one. But don't you think that had a lot to do with the fact that the Jets were so bothered by the perception that Aaron Rodgers ran the whole thing? And that's the same thing that got in their heads about the unexcused absence stuff.
That's what I thought. Rob Saleh was overlooking the offense now, overseeing the offense.
Yeah, sure.
It didn't, wasn't that a part of it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, such a joke. Really. But I think that the Jets hated the idea that all of us saw it the same way, that Aaron Rodgers was in charge and Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh and everybody else were not. So a couple of things they did was that story that came out about how they were trying to get someone in there, whether it was true or not, about sitting on top of, as you say, sitting on the face of Nathaniel Hackett, and also the unexcused absence thing. Like, hey, we're in charge here. Aaron doesn't run the show. Well, he does. And by the way, you know, even if he had come out, you know, Rob Saleh would have said, we knew Aaron wasn't going to be here and it's an unexcused absence, or not an unexcused absence because we knew he was going to be here. And the fans and media would have been like, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers is missing the practices. Who cares what the backlash is at that point of the season? Doesn't matter. What matters more is a relationship with your quarterback. You can piss off and make, you know, Rich Samini and Connor Hughes write something nasty about you. That'll go away. What doesn't go away is the quarterback thinking that you're a buffoon and losing that guy's trust, which you might have done.
Yeah. I was telling you yesterday that, remember, Aaron Rodgers forced his trade to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew it was happening. It was just a matter of when they were going to pull the trigger. They pulled the trigger right before the draft, and they got their quarterback, and Aaron took less money or moved money around and to make it all work out. And he was really being lauded for doing it the way that he did it from the Jet fan perspective. Unfortunately, he gets hurt. He comes back at the end of last year. He is at practice, practicing with his teammates, goes through the entire offseason with OTAs and does everything that he could possibly humanly do to come back and be the quarterback of the Jets, because his own words was that he felt like he let down the Jet fan, his teammates, the ownership, and everything else, and that he wanted to come back and have a great year. So if I were Rob Saleh around that minicamp fiasco, I just would have said he's done everything we've asked. He has put everything he possibly could into coming back this year and being the player that we all know he can be. And therefore, you know, taking a couple of days off of minicamp, we excused it because we knew and he told us that he was going to Egypt. That's all you had to say. It would have been done.
If they lose this game in London, then that flight home, and if it looks like it's another bad coaching situation, you get some sort of weirdness on the sideline between those two guys, I mean, it's going to be just, it's going to be insanity. It's going to be like crumbling feeling.
A lot of this is going to be, and they're not going to sweat it just yet. It's still early. It's one quarter of the season over. They're at 500. They lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. They'll have to win a game where maybe we don't think they're going to win, and that this week would be that week because of the way that the Minnesota Vikings have played the first four games of the season. So I think a lot of people think that this is going to be a tough spot for the Jets and don't expect them to win. So go out and win this game, and then last week's stink of a loss will be off of you. And then some of this stuff will calm down. But if you come back here after getting beat, let's say, you know, 27-17 or 27-13 or something like that with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, oh, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, then it doesn't
and,
get
you know, any- and Aaron can go on McAfee all he wants, and he can say whatever he wants, and Rob Saleh can say whatever he wants. Believe me, I've walked a million miles in these shoes. I know what it's like.
It doesn't get much easier after that, obviously, with the Buffalo Bills and then one of the better defenses in the league and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yep, here you go. Let's go to Larry in Dix Hills. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, good morning, man. How are you?
What's up, man?
If you covered this already, forgive me, but we've been yipping about this at work and how unbelievably ridiculous Major League Baseball looks about putting advertising on the side of their helmet as if they have no money and they need to get all the money in the world. Now, the NHL did it. NHL doesn't have the money that Major League Baseball does. But it makes them look greedy and ridiculous. I just wanted to know what you thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think most leagues right now have a lot of that.
Reminds me of European hockey.
Well, have a soccer, too. I mean
European hockey has that thing running the forehead of the helmets like Skoda.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that is.
Well, I mean,
what is Skoda?
I don't know what Skoda is, and I don't know what Strauss is on the side of the helmets here.
Yeah, what is Strauss?
I don't know.
Didn't we have a Strauss stores here in New York at one point in time?
I Googled this. It's guys who do like hard manual labor, like clothing for them.
So there you go. So now we know. Nobody knew what Strauss was. Now we know because they put it on the side of the helmet. So
yeah,
I guess Skoda, that works.
Skoda's an auto company.
Is it?
Yeah, from the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Now I know what Skoda is.
Well, there you go.
So Strauss is what now?
It's like clothing for men who like work, like real like labor.
Like Carhartt?
Yeah, like that.
Like real men.
I didn't even know what that is. I've never heard it. Maybe now we're talking about it, now know what it is. So that's, I guess it's effective advertising, as they say in the business.
So, I mean, the Yankees put the star insurance on the jerseys.
Every team has something. The Mets have Columbia Presbyterian. You remember when they first put it on there? I'm like, can you please at least match the colors, for God's sake?
Look like a pizza box.
Right, exactly. So at least they got the colors matching.
Yeah, they did. And then...
I'll take credit for that.
You man, I tell you. You love a pat on the back.
I do.
You are, as I remember, the only one to mention that.
Yeah, yes.
In
all of us love that patch, right, except for you, and you're the one who got to turn it
around. Millions of people in New York.
Somebody has to say something and be pointed with their criticism. Yeah.
Congratulations.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The NBA, everybody's got an advertisement on their jersey now, too.
But they're not wearing a helmet. Like, Major League Baseball has worn helmets all year long and has never had anything on those helmets. And now all of a sudden, the playoffs show up, the ratings suck, and they're putting these things on the side of their helmet. It looks ridiculous.
The broadcast bothers me. We talked about it. They're doing too many things that changes the way I'm enjoying consuming the game. The helmet thing does not. It doesn't.
The game breathe, man.
But the helmet advertisement does not.
Skoda.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm used many times as a human billboard.
I understand that.
So I can't sit here and tell you that it bothers me. Let's go to Tim in Indian Hills. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. I was wondering, remember Levi Strauss? You think it could be a cut off of that, like Strauss might be the wife or the brother of Levi. Who knows?
Interesting. Hadn't thought about that, Tim. Did Strauss leave Levi and start her own man clothing company?
Or was it the other Strauss and he left Abraham?
Abraham and Strauss, A&S, yes.
Good point. A lot of Strausses out there. So what do you think? It was just, the odds of this just being some different random Strauss in a clothing company is probably slim. It's got to be one of those two Strausses. We looked that up. Can we get that?
I did Google this, and it says that the company inked an agreement with Levi Strauss. This is a separate Strauss related to branding. So they could use that name, I think. That's what it looks like.
So wait, separate Strauss.
It's a separate Strauss, but somehow they're connected to Levi Strauss.
Yeah, Strauss is not to be confused with denim giant Levi Strauss, but they did have had to make a deal so that they could use that name for clothing.
Now, is Levi Strauss still Levi Strauss? They're just Levi.
They're Levi Strauss.
Okay. So Strauss is still with Levi. News to me. Because you see, you wear your Levi's now, you know?
No, I don't do it. I don't.
You don't say I'm wearing my Levi Strauss. I mean, there's at the Tanger Outlet Mall, it's just there's a Levi's store.
You've been going to the Tanger Outlet Mall?
I haven't been there recently.
Okay.
But I have at times in my life gone there to get...
Do you get a hot dog at
many pairs of jeans for a very low price that are high quality.
Yep.
You know, they're a bus...
They're not irregular?
No, they're fine.
Okay.
They're fine. Nike Outlet's a good one out there. Brooks Brothers Outlet. You know, you snag up some good stuff. there are buses filled with people from the city that get dropped off there. It's insane. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
I mean, I'm talking like four busloads of people from the city.
Yeah.
And they just...
I think it's just drop them off at Canal Street and let them shop on Canal Street. Jesus, God.
I got like a feeling they're all coming from Canal Street.
It is like a market down on Canal Street, man.
Yeah.
Holy God. And, you know, the amount of people that are parking, double parked on Canal Street every single day with Texas license plates, it's ridiculous.
We're getting peak boomer right now.
You know why? I'm annoyed for everything. I'm annoyed.
Everything in the city sucks.
Aren't you annoyed when you leave the city? Are you not annoyed?
What was that?
The Texan plates, which I—that's all I see now. After.
Yeah. The Texas plates.
I brought that up. There you go. Right, exactly.
Mayor Adams, it's all coming together.
Yeah,
man, this is great. This is like a boomer smoothie. Everything's going right in there.
Boomer smoothie.
Yeah, everything's going right in there.
But you leave the city kind of like when I do, and I'm just asking you.
It's the worst. What am I to say?
I don't know, somebody's got to do something about it.
Everything sucks. People knocking on my window. I see the crazy people running through the streets. I see all sorts of encampments and autonomous zones. It's just traffic everywhere.
And the mayor's in court.
Lock up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great. But that's why I don't live here, and I go as far away as possible.
But at least we have outdoor dining.
Yeah, I know.
In the street.
I know. That they haven't gotten rid of since COVID.
No, they're starting to get rid of some of it. Mm. Some of it's being taken down.
When I was here the other day.
That Indian restaurant, man, that guy put up condos.
It's crazy.
For 3 years, we had condos on the streets on Hudson Street.
We ate in one of those things. Remember?
That was the car that we ate at the steakhouse.
Was it a steakhouse?
Was it the prime place?
Yeah, right.
Only served prime rib?
Yeah, right. It was, yes. And you know what was crazy about that was we were in there, and Courtney Cox from Friends was also in there. In one of those things in the street. That's how popular that restaurant was. They threw two celebrities out in the street. You and Courtney Cox.
Yeah, but the nice thing about that was like that was like a legit dining car.
Yeah.
I mean, that was almost like you were on a high-end, five-star train dining car.
Right, in the 1920s.
Exactly.
That's what it felt like.
And it was very intimate.
It was. It wasn't bad. You didn't realize you were out in the street, but we were in the street.
I know, 100% in the street.
100% in the street. But it was nice. It was great food.
Very nice.
It was awesome. It was a great day. Shout out to Lee Einsiedler.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we are giving away another pair of Yankees playoff tickets in the 9 a.m. hour. And the way you win those tickets is you will call when you hear a John Sterling drop. So we're going to provide you with that drop this hour. Do not call this hour. This is not the hour to call. The next time you hear it in the 9 a.m. hour, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And then you have to be caller number 7 on top of that. So, the John Sterling drop that will be the cue to call in the 9 a.m. hour is...
I haven't been this high since the 60s.
I haven't been this high since the 60s. John Sterling talking about his drug use when he was a younger man.
I haven't been this high since the 60s.
So, when you hear that, in the 9 a.m. hour, you call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. You'd be caller number 7, and you win Yankees playoff tickets.
I haven't been this high since the 60s.
Good for him. Getting high in the 60s like everybody else. You know? I mean, the 60s, I wish I was alive in the 60s. But then, you know what everybody says? The nostalgia part of it. You know, you think about the good times. There are bad times in the 60s as well.
It's bad times every decade.
Yeah. But you think back and you think about all the good times. You don't think about the bad times as much.
Yeah, two Kennedys, MLK.
Right. Not good.
The Mets, the Knicks, the Jets.
Hmm.
Did you predict Moon Landing?
Did you predict any of those assassinations? Or
no.
Oh. What are you looking at there?
I am looking at the devastation that Hurricane Helene... brought upon a town called Chimney Rock, North Carolina.
Whoa.
Is that the city that's completely wiped off the map?
It is completely wiped off the map. I mean, it is just so devastated.
God.
It's hard to even watch the video. It's amazing it's amazing what happened there. And nobody had thought that North Carolina, Asheville, Chimney Rock were going to get hit like this, quite like this.
Yeah.
Remember, we were talking about Tampa. We were talking about Atlanta and Georgia. Valdosta, Georgia got hit hard. But this Chimney Rock, North Carolina, is completely destroyed. It looks like a bomb hit it.
Yeah, no, it really does. That's why I stopped in my tracks.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
I wasn't doom scrolling. I was just checking it out because it came across a feed.
Yeah, well, that's how it all happens, right? The doom scroll. All right. Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone to something a lot less important, and that would be the Brewers and the Mets last night in Game 2.
2-2 the count. Williams ready. Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball deep left center on the run. Churio, he's there. Makes the catch. The Brewers have won the ball game. They even the series, staying alive. And there will be a third and deciding game tomorrow.
Yes, there will be in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Howie Rose. Yeah. The final out on Mets Odyssey Radio. The Brewers come from behind and beat the Mets 5-3. Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Churio with home runs in the eighth inning off of Phil Maton. The Mitchell won the go-ahead two-run shot after Churio tied the game. Here was Maton. Props to Churio, who continues to just play really well.
I think he's just a young, talented hitter who can always fight off good fastballs. Overall, pretty happy with the pitch selection. Execution was a little bit more in the box than I would have liked, but just a talented hitter. Have to tip your cap. It was kind of taking advantage of trying to go to the four after the sinker, and just a good piece of hitting.
Also took Manaea deep to the same spot in the first inning. Pete Alonso didn't have a great night again. We know he tripped over the bat, would have scored a run early, didn't. He went 1-for-4, had a single. Reaction to a Maton and to Alonso from your favorite Met fan, Frank the Tank?
He had some good games down the stretch, but he had nothing today. Should never have been allowed to face Mitchell. I mean, my God, God forbid it's Adam Ottavino, but you cannot have him out there with Mitchell just being just a monster against the Mets. But Pete Alonso, pick up your weight, you fat
Wow.
Whoa.
Man, oh, man.
Wow.
I think he meant to say pull your own weight.
Yeah.
Well, fat bleep was pretty
Frank's clear. Feeling himself after losing about 80 pounds now. So he's now doling out fat insults elsewhere.
Well, here was Alonso. Yeah, we should have had more offense in terms of runs scored.
Yeah, I feel like if I didn't trip over my bat, that would have been, I would have legged it out and run would have scored there. But sucks to legitimately trip there and not get that run in.
I can honestly say it's the first time I've ever heard that.
That's a real quote.
I have never heard that before. You see a lot of things for the first time in playoffs and no matter what sport you're watching, but it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the only word I could use to describe the feeling that I have when I hear him say that.
Pretty bad.
Just throw the bat to the side.
Yeah, I know. And it would have been such an easy run because it was not a well-hit ball. He would have, the guy dives, flip. I mean, good Lord. Here he is. He goes, we've been doing fine. I know it's 1-1. We'll be all right.
They just hit two homers in the bottom of the eighth there. But I feel like that for the whole game, I thought we had great at-bats. So if we can continue to take care of the ball in defense, pitch well, and have good at-bats, I think we'll be all right.
Maybe good at-bats, but not with runners in scoring position where they are 2-for-11 last night. By the way, Milwaukee before last night, 0-for-their last 26 in the postseason when trailing going into the eighth inning. So now 1-26. Here was Carlos Mendoza. All right, just need to bounce back again.
We've shown in the whole year, you know, we've been knocked down and we have the ability to get back up. And here we are, you know, got punched today. We'll get right back. They're a good ball club, man. They're a good team. But we'll be ready to go.
And obviously,
you guys ever have a dream where you're running and you can't get up?
Yeah,
all the time where I slow down, someone's chasing me, and I'm like, totally slow. Yeah, happens all the time.
That was the Pete situation. That's what it feels like to me.
Right.
More embarrassing, Pete tripping over a bat and they don't score a run, or Colton Cowser of the Orioles swinging and missing on a pitch that basically fractured his wrist with the bases loaded and two out yesterday.
That's more devastating.
That's a rough one.
Because you're also eliminated and then you're hurt.
Yes.
But the one thing I will say is that's also a ball that's obviously moving and he didn't think it was moving to where it was moving to and got hit with it.
True.
As where Pete had the bat, and it's his bat, and you throw it out of the way after you hit the ball.
Right, he kind of just laid it down in his path.
Maybe he had too much, you know, pine tar in his batting gloves or something.
You ever get the dream where you forget your locker combination? Ever get that one?
No, because that's happened to me. Yeah, not necessarily a dream.
Son of a bitch, what is this thing?
Really?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. It's another one.
That's happened to me, and when I come back from a vacation sometimes, I forget all my passwords here, and I can't get into my computer. Because they're not written down.
Just start writing them down, man.
Yeah, I just never have. It's never been an issue, but it has one time. I think Eddie helped me figure out using just the computer in and of itself. So tonight, you've got, this is it. Win and continue on against the Phillies on Saturday. Lose and go home. Jose Quintana and Tobias Myers are the starters. 7:08, first pitch from Milwaukee. We did mention the Orioles. They lose 2-1 to the Royals. Seth Lugo did get the start in that game. I think he pitched 4 1/3, something like that. Bobby Witt Jr., the tie-breaking RBI single in the sixth. The Yankees and the Royals, game one of the ALDS, Saturday night at 6:30. The Tigers beat the Astros 5-2, so Houston is out. Detroit advances to take on Cleveland in the ALDS. And the Padres got a home run from guess who yet again.
1-2 pitch is hit in the air to deep left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. Oh, my goodness. It's going to go. Kyle Higashioka takes it out for the second consecutive night. And a 1-1 game here in the second inning.
Yeah, the home run stroke again. Kyle Higashioka with the home run for San Diego. They would score 5 in that second inning and hold on to beat the Braves 5-4. They knocked out Max Fried after just 2 innings.
Aw, too bad.
Yeah, they are, see ya, they're out. San Diego, L.A. in the NLDS should be fun starting this weekend. All right, to the NFL, we got a bunch of stuff here. Sunday, the Jets take on the Vikings in London. Here was Rob Saleh. He was asked, should there be drills and discipline? It wasn't exactly the question, but essentially, should there be drills and discipline for all the mistakes made by his players on Sunday in that terrible loss to the Broncos?
Depends on who you talk to. I personally know they're men. They want to be treated like men. They already know they messed up. They don't need to be embarrassed. They need to know how to correct it. And I don't think doing push-ups is teaching a guy how to correct it.
Okay, fair enough. So hopefully they have it all corrected for the London game this weekend. They are taking on the 4-0 Vikings. Here is DJ Reed.
We're looking forward to it. I look at it as a great opportunity for us. You know, we're going, playing against an undefeated team who's hot right now, so I'm looking forward to the challenge.
And that'll be 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. Late Sunday afternoon, you've got the Giants and the Seahawks in Seattle. Now, the Giants, at this very moment, not exactly a whole club because of the concussion suffered by Malik Nabers. Here is Brian Daboll. They were searching for some sort of an update.
He's in the early stages of it right now. So, again, we'll just take it day by day with him. Other than that, I have no update other than he's in the protocol, and just hope he continues to get better.
All right, so if he doesn't play, how different will this offense be? Here is Daniel Jones.
There's no doubt he's been a big part of our offense so far, and someone who's who we've counted on, you know, in a lot of spots. So, you know, it'll change a little bit, but, you know, the guys we got out there, we have a lot of confidence in winning their matchups and getting open. And I know we'll play well.
And that game at 4:30 on Sunday. Now, in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, we've heard of him. He had a back and forth on social media with the gambling trolls. Because we remember we played the clip from the college quarterback who said people were hitting him up for money and stuff like that. So apparently Jackson's been, and a lot of his teammates have been hit up on social media about ruining their parlays or their bets or whatever props they're doing. So one of the reporters asking Jackson on Wednesday, why would you concern yourself and reply to these things?
Because, like, you got to understand, we human, too. You know, we seeing that, like, we going in there, we trying to win games. You know, all our life we played football. We got to this, the highest level, the professional level, to win games and not to help people parlay.
And then he would go on and say, we are just simply not concerned with your bets.
We don't dwell on parlays, but I see a lot of people like to make comments in our comment section or in our DMs. But then when we address them in our DM, they want to make it public. So it's like, it is what it is, man. We trying to win.
Got to imagine this is going to be more and more and more as we go on, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of the bed they've made. They got to lay in it now.
100%. So. I mean, and this, the whole social media aspect of what the athletes have to deal with. It could be a positive. They can make money off of it like many kids in college are doing. But they're also opening themselves and to a like, and I would say an unfair criticism.
Well, I mean, does any reporter sit there and say, hey, Lamar, the reason why you're making over $40 million a year is in part because people love to gamble on this sport and you got to deal with it?
I don't know that anybody said that to him.
I mean, and if we took away the ability to gamble on the NFL the way the product has been so far this season, there'd probably be a, I don't know, drop in 40% or more of viewership, which would in turn lower your salary. So suck it up. Deal with it with your comments on your Instagram.
Then there's Tyreek Hill. So a couple here from him. First, addressing trade rumors, because he posted that, I guess, excited for what's to come. Who knows? Here he was with the media yesterday.
We all know the NFL is a business. Whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying? So moving forward, I would love to be here. I love being here. You know, I love the guys. I love my locker mate, Javon Holland. He's a maniac. He's the guy. You know what I'm saying? He brings me nice snacks sometimes.
Okay, so he likes his team. In terms of what happened on the sideline the other night, we were talking about this last hour. He says, completely misunderstood. Wasn't yelling at anybody.
I'm in a good spot in my life, man. I wouldn't refer to it as shouting. I was just, that's just me just motivating my teammates. I was simply telling 2-5 that we need more of that. Because he had a great run there towards the end of the game. And I was like, I need more of that. I need more of that, 2-5. Number 9, I need more of that. I need more of that 1-8. So that's just me, man, like just motivating my teammates.
Buying or selling?
I've decided he sucks. I don't like him.
What? Really?
I've decided that, yeah.
Why?
Great player, but I don't like him. Well, I mean, why? Let's see. Let me count the ways.
Well, I'm just about on the field. I'm not talking about the stuff off the field.
No,
I'm talking about field. And to me, like, I see this. He's yelling and screaming on the sideline. You know, Mike McDaniel's not even responding to him. He's just letting him do his thing. I mean, this is what happens when you're losing. He doesn't have his quarterback out there. He's frustrated. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, as a player, you can't deny it. He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and still, if he had a quarterback at the top of his game, I just don't like him.
Okay.
One other thing from the NFL on the Chris Vernon show was Tony Allen. Remember Tony Allen played, he ended on the Pelicans. So we'll leave it there. He played for like 10, 12 years in the NBA, maybe longer than that. But so he's on this Chris Vernon show, and his last season and his one time with the Pelicans comes up. He calls them just an awful organization. And then they ask him, was your coach, that was Alvin Gentry, right?
Is that Gentry?
Yeah, one of the worst coaches in the world.
Chris Finch was an assistant. Oh, my God.
What? Who, Gentry?
Why was he one of the best coaches in the world?
Yeah, because I'm just saying, he says, I don't know.
All right, because he's old, so then they laugh.
He's old.
Well, they laugh, and then he goes on to say, he just said nothing of substance, like, ever.
You're like, fellas, we all got a rebound. And what else they did? You want them type of coaches. You want them. Oh, yeah, get back in transition. Especially you, cuz.
He just ripped him to shreds. And what he was doing was off mic, acting like he was asking the assistant coach, yeah, what we got to do? At one point, he goes, he would break it down, like, who we playing? So he really lit him. He torched him, as they say. So yeah. Probably at least 10, 12 years, I would say, in the NBA.
Sounded like a place I wanted to be with those guys hanging out, laughing like that.
It also looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked like having a great time.
Like a lot of fun.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just when I thought I couldn't love Josh Hart more, I see this Instagram post from the New York Knicks. So one of the things that these teams do now, I don't know if you've gotten to see this trend, but, you know, my wife does it with my daughters. When the girls' first day of school, they hold up a sign and they say how old they are and what they want to be when they grow up. And
yeah, I see that with my grandkids.
Right.
Yeah.
So they do something similar now, these sports franchises, where they have, you know, what season is it for you? And then they ask certain questions. Josh Hart, there's three questions they ask. Your go-to bagel order, your favorite hobby, and your favorite day of the week. And I'm not just saying this. If I was given those three questions,
you'd have the same answers.
The same exact answers.
Hobby is golf.
Yes.
Okay. Your go-to bagel order?
Yep. This is I don't really get it here, but it's like a weekend thing every time. And
It's the usual.
Like it's the buttered bagel?
No, no, no.
Buttered toasted bagel?
No. Bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel.
Oh, okay.
That's the one. Bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel. That is the usual.
I see you and Josh Hart have two things in common.
I mean, he put bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel.
And your favorite day of the week is Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Same exact answer.
You and Josh Hart. Simpatico.
Gosh, what a guy.
Yeah.
You want to hear Precious Achiuas?
Oh, yeah. Love that.
All right.
Our Precious Achiuwa.
Precious Achiuwa. Even though they didn't erase the Josh Hart name, my name is, they still kept Josh Hart up there for him. So why somebody screwed up there.
Come on. Get it right. They're always screwing Precious Achiuwa. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. I think just to piss you off.
I think so.
All right. Go to. Oof. Wow. Go to bagel order. Strawberry cream cheese on a cheddar bagel.
Interesting. See, I think this guy's a very interesting guy. That's why I like him.
Favorite hobby, traveling.
Okay.
Is that a hobby?
Yeah, it's a hobby, yeah.
Okay. Favorite day of the week, Sunday.
Because he goes to church.
Sunday. Well, I don't know why.
Religious guy?
Yeah. All right. So I'll give you one more, and that's it. We'll go to the calls. Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
Go-to bagel order for Jalen Brunson. Everything bagel, egg and cheese, hash brown, and chipotle mayo. Whoa.
Whoa, I like it. Whoa. I could see eating that.
Man, oh man. I wonder if he has the hash brown on the bagel? Damn.
What's his hobby?
Video games. Don't like that. Not my favorite.
And then his favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Woo-hoo. That's why we always have a feel-good Friday.
Damn right.
We're all in sync with that.
Love a feel-good Friday. Yeah, so that Josh Hart, that just made me, like, made my heart flutter a little bit. Love the guy already, and he's just got, we're just the same. We're essentially the same person. You think about me and Josh Hart?
I see a lot of similarities.
Sort of like, God, I was about to say chorizo. Cheerio. And Evan Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Same guy. Yep. 42-year-old, white, red-haired, freckled guy, and 20-year-old Venezuelan. Same person.
Yeah.
Just like Evan said. John and Tom's River. What's going on, John?
Gentlemen, what's happening today?
What up?
All right. I'm thinking the boom Nostradamus prediction might be close, man, because the path is right in front of the Yankees, man. If they can't do it this year, they ain't gonna.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying, man. Yes, but yeah, that's what it feels like on paper because there's no Astros there. But at the same time, you know, baseball is a funny sport there, John. I don't know if you know this. And teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I do.
The Arizona Diamondbacks made it to the World Series last year when nobody expected it. So things can happen. But yes, the Yankees are going to be heavy favorites.
Go ahead. But I got a great idea for the Boomer and Geo Live, man. You should do like a... an SNL thing where you could do your imitations of Mike and the Mad Dog and like a little panel there. Have guests with your impressions. You'd be great.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. I've actually done the impressions, I think, for several of the Boomer and Geo live shows.
Yeah, you always get involved with some of that stuff, yes. Which is good.
Yeah, we did favorite impressions in a fan feud last time that we'll be bringing back. I did... welcome the first Boomer Geo Live, like messages from Mike and Chris and Beningo and all that stuff. So what'd you say there, Eddie? Is there something you could say on the air or not? Because I was listening to the caller.
I'm not sure if you want me to say it on the air.
Okay, so don't. I just didn't know if it was something. You could tell me again in a little bit. But yes. Boomer Geo Live, the Paramount. We will be there on November 22nd. So very, very excited about that. Tickets are at Ticketmaster.com. Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks. Many, many special things coming up for that show. I was just out there in Huntington at the Tap Room, and I was looking across the street at the Paramount going, man, there's going to be some chicanery up in that building right up there. That's what we're going to have.
That's us.
Some chicanery, you know?
Yeah.
Like some serious hijinks.
Hijinks and chicanery.
Some serious tomfoolery.
Wow, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a very good one.
Boomer and Geo Live.
Kind of like your golf game.
Tomfoolery? No.
By the way, did you enjoy yourself yesterday?
I did, 75% of the time.
I know. And we were, the three of us who were playing with you were just like, you know, he's getting it. It wasn't as bad. You're actually coming around.
Well, I was, and I was much better in the middle of the summer than I've lost it, and it's getting closer, but it's still horrendous. But they were, hey, I contributed, I think, on like four or five holes playing my own ball.
You kept your team in it. Did you enjoy your first outing at Sleepy Hollow?
I did. It was as advertised, if not undersold. It is one of the most beautiful courses I have played. I actually posted some video and a couple of pictures I took yesterday on Instagram stories at GOWFAN. It was gorgeous. I mean, when you're out there and like looking around, it's quiet, and like there was a video I actually took. It was just so quiet. There's no cars, no nothing, and just like the insects are chirping. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to hit a ground ball 10 feet in front of me.
That's a CB McDonald golf course.
Oh, it's cool. It really is. I mean, it's a top 100 course in the country for a reason. And it was a privilege to be there. That's how beautiful that place is. That's one that will be 16, 17, 18 will be etched in my memory until hopefully I get a chance to go back there and do it again. Beautiful.
Well, yeah, I mean, your partner wants a rematch.
Yeah, he works there, the guy. So, like, it wasn't as important for him to enjoy himself and the surroundings, regardless of how he played, because he's been there all the time.
Yeah.
But he was legit. He was getting annoyed.
Well, no, I don't think he was getting annoyed.
No, he was. I was in the cart with him.
Oh, he was.
He was getting annoyed.
What was he getting annoyed at? Mikey K dropping birdies? Or?
Yes. Because
the legendary Mikey K took him down.
He did. And Mikey K played his ass off. But Mikey K shot even par on the back when he got a shot on like six of the holes.
Which is true. I mean, like, Mikey K hits the ball half as far as your partner Greg did.
Yeah, I know. Very true. But,
I mean, half as far.
But he played his ass off yesterday, Mikey K.
Well, he showed up and he
showed up and showed out.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.